Yasmin.
Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov, Hanok.
We'll start in about 1 minute.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Okay. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoa. Anna Bekoa, Gedula Chemincha, Tati, Tera, Alasek Yimo, Yitak Sadi, Kabelinat. Amcha sagbeinu taharenu nora kufre shayan sintet nun na gibor dor she yehudcha kivavat shamrem nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin Barchem tacharen, rachame sikatcha, tamid gamlen, betet resh, tzaditach gimel. Chasin kadosh, birov tucha, nael adata, tet kuf bet, tet nonayim. Yachid Geya Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayim Kuf. The letters of the month of Elul, the Resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Yud that created the constellation Betulah, the astrological sign of Virgo. Together, the Resh and the Yud have a gematria of 210, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word Redu, Resh Dalet Vav. And Redu translates as to go down, and it represents Hashem coming down to be closer to us in order to make our work of Teshuvah easier for us. Shabbatenu kabel u'shma tziyakatenu yodea talumot shin kufav sadi yutaf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We are now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. And we will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notze Chesed La'alafin, Notze Avon Wafesha, We're now going to connect to the a verse from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty. It's from Parsha Yitro, Pasuk 29, and we will start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Hu Ishkinte Bidchilu Erchimud Chilu Udchilu Erchimu Le'atka L'shem Yud He Bevav He V'yichudah Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah לעסוק תורה מצווה. ויהי נועם אדוני אלוהינו עלינו מעשה ידינו כנענה עלינו מעשה ידינו כנענהו. רבי אבא אמר בכמה אתר תנא נם דקוצה פריחו קומה דאבד לילה ותתה קולאי הוא קשות ביובדה דקשות ולילך מילה ביעלמה דבעי ברנש ודח יעליה מיניה ולנהגה, פיה כלנה דהכולו עובדה, תקשוט אינון וכלה הצטריך, פיה עלמה. We are approaching the year 5778, which is the year of bowing time, or bow time, bow time, which is also connected to walking time. There is one verse that in the Tanakh that has the gematria of 5778, and that is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkavi Amnon Vayitchal Vayavo המלך לראותו ויאמר אמנון אל המלך תבוא נא תמר אחותי ותלבב ועיני שתי לביבות ואברה מידה. There is a second verse that conceals the letters of the name of the verse within it. And this is Psalm chapter 32, verse 5. And in this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet, is concealed because the letters are separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha. Ve'avoni lo kisiti, amarti ode alai, v'sha'ai ladonai, yo-hei-wa-hei, ve'ata nasata avon chatati, selah. And now we're going to connect to this current year, the year 5777. The year of the goat. There are also two verses in this year. And the first one that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katsipor oyevai chinam. And when we take the first letters of these five words, we're able to parse them into tzatzkiyach, which translates as appear like brothers. And when we take the final letters of the five words, we're able to permute them into dir yam. Translation is the sea of penance. There is a second verse that connects to the year 5777. Because concealed within it is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. And in this case, the ELS, the equal letter sequence or spacing, is the number 7. In case I didn't mention the name of the verse, which I thought I did, but it's Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim ba Adonai, yo he wahe, Elohechem tadibaku, kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776 has the energy of a pause. And there are two verses that connects to this energy as well. The first one we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat velo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot vayechaskum acheichem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha liad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav lehit kadesh meha kohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to parse, permute them into eight names of God. Adonai yohe wahe, la la he, wa wa wa, yo la yo, ala me, hey hey hey, ata a. The second verse connecting to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bihu ba Adonai yohe wahe ade ad ki biya yohe Adonai yohe wahe tsur olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy from the Tanakh. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni atili ruki. The second is actually 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. This is the second verse that we study, connecting to the same energy of swallowing death. Uru udu mikol hamachavoyim asher yitchabei sham v'shavtem elai el nachom v'halakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'hipasti O Tob, call Alfe Yehuda. And the third is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse in all of the Tanakh that has this energy. And it is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakan tahta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto Ka'asher Barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God by saying each letter using its root vowel. Wahe wayo layo sayo te alame mehe shi la la he Aka aka heta hezayo alada la awa he heya yozala me behe he reyo he kome la awa kalayo la wawa pe he la nulaha yo 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 me la he 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 wa Muta he he a yo re ta shi a he. We yo yo Awame Lakabe Washire Yohe Wala Hehe Ko Kawa Ko Menuda Anu Yohe Ame Re Ahe Re Ha He A Yo Yo Za Me He 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 Me Yo Ha Wa Wa La Yo La He Sa A La A Re Yo A Shi La Me Yo He Wa He He Wa Da Nu Yo He He Shi A Me Me Nu Nu A Nu Yo Ta Me Be He He Wa Yo Nu me me yo yo la he re he me ta re wa me be yo he he a nu wa me he yo da me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. If we notice the 13th name, Yud Zion Lamed, which has the energy of heaven on earth, connects to the year 5778. Also the 14th name, Mei Bei He, Mem Bet He, connects to this energy of 5778. And the energy of this name is farewell to arms. And the third name of the 72 names that connects to this energy of 5778, the energy of bowing to Hashem, is Awameh, Aleph Vav Mem. This name connects to the energy of building bridges among people. And this is the path to bring heaven down to earth. This is the path to saying farewell to guns, to arms, to conflict, by building bridges. Now, to connect to the 72 names of God, the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, we will connect in the same manner using the letters and their root vowels. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo tsa la me re he Hey yo yo, hey may may, wa 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 ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la, nu nu me ha yo, me nu he wa, nu yo he shi a, yo re ta shi a he, re la yo wa wa me, la yo be wa he re. Yo yo wa la hey hey la hey hey ka a ko me nu da anu yo hey wa me re hey a yo hey za hey she hey me ka ha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la a re yo a la me ta hey Wa wa he wa yo da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo ta he be me ka ko Ala a he he wa ra le re la he yo yo me e la yo me he me. And in the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, the 30th name, which is the same letters, the same name as in the 72 names of God, building bridges, so we can make that connection stronger by meditating on the name Aleph Vav Mem. The Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the 12th day of Elul, Rabbi Shimon of Toledo, Rabbi Simcha Bunim of Peshicha, Rabbi Moshe Eliokim Bria Hopstein of Kuznets, Rabbi Yitzhak Zelaznik, and Rabbi Menachem Menashe. The 13th day of Elul, which starts tonight at sundown, the Tzaddikim who left this day, Rabbi Yosef Chaim ben Eliyahu of Baghdad. He is known from the name of his book, the Ben Ish Chai, the son of the living man. Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Twersky of Cherkas, Rabbi Avraham Yisachar Ber HaKohen Rabinowitz of Radomsk. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class can be found in the unique astrological times link. You'll find it there. That link is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage, or at the bottom of the webpages if you are using a mobile device. And the link on that page to click on is titled Preparation for Elul and Tishrei Holidays. It's about an inch. If you scroll down approximately an inch, you will find it very easily. You can also find that same link in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 8, the second column from the left, which is just titled the Advanced Teshuvah Classes. When you open up the Advanced Teshuvah Classes, please scroll down to class number 6. The Tishrei holidays, as we only have approximately 3 weeks left. It is time to start studying those holidays. And we are continuing with the study of our Teshuvah advanced classes, which another one will take place at 3:00 West Coast time this afternoon. Beginning to read. To understand the Tishrei holidays, we need to have a brief understanding of the meaning of Tishrei. Please note that the yud at the end of a word translates as the personal pronoun my. The other three letters are in the reverse order of the alphabet, which would indicate a state of judgment or limitation. These three letters in that order translates as give a present. The month of Tishrei is my present. Who is the giver? Who is the receiver? The giver can be none other than the Creator. Tishrei is Hashem's present to mankind. What the actual present will be is discussed below. There are 23 days of Hagim, of holidays, during Tishrei. This is in the diaspora. And there are 22 days of Hagim during Tishrei in Israel. Each holiday has its own ritual, which will be discussed below. This leads to some specific questions. Why are so many days of holidays? How can someone take so many days off of his normal work? What is all of these different holidays, and what purpose do they serve? Part of preparing for Rosh Hashanah and the Tishrei holidays is discussing the new year. Here is a teaching from the Chabad Rebbe about this time of the new year. Time is not a train of cars hitched one to another, one year dragged along by the year preceding, the present hitched tightly to the past, the future enslaved to the present. Rather, every year arrives fresh from its creator, a year that never was before and could never have been known before its arrival. That is why we call Rosh Hashanah the birthday of the world in our prayers. The past has returned to its place, never to return. That's not quite true, as my commentary, unwritten commentary, is saying, but we will discuss that as we go through our preparations. With the blowing of the shofar, the entirety of creation is renewed. From this point on, even the past exists only by virtue of the present. To answer these questions and others, we need to begin with certain rituals towards the end of Elul. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is actually the birth of the creation of Adam HaRishon, the first man, the first Adam, the first man and woman in unity, even if they were back to back. This makes the 25th of Elul the birthday of the creation of the physical world. It is recommended to light a candle to connect to that event, which this year begins Tuesday evening, September 19th. There is also a recommended ritual to connect to the eight kings of Edom, 8 days prior to the 25th of Elul. This year that happens on Friday night, September 15th. The ritual is taught by the Rashash, who is Rabbi Sharabi in his Siddur. He explains that in Bereshit chapter 36, verses 31 to 48:3, there are 13 verses which connects to the word Echad, oneness and unity, that say that there were 8 kings of Edom before there were any kings in the land of Israel. The ritual is to read these verses in both Hebrew and English. These verses are the source of the teaching by the Arizal regarding the breaking of the vessels. This is the source of the teaching that each person has a mutual responsibility to elevate these sparks which are related to the breaking of the Sephirot of the previous worlds. This is the source of the metaphor of elevating these sparks. Each human being has the joint responsibility to elevate those sparks that fell from the Sephirot that they are related to within the soul of Adam and Chava. As we read these verses in the Torah on the 8 days prior to the creation of our world, we are connecting unconsciously to the sparks that we have yet to elevate. This assists us in knowing what it is we need to do during the next year to complete these spark elevations. Of course, this is all done on an unconscious level. Above this paragraph, there is a link to the Yeshem webpage, its biblical inquiry form, that lets you type in the book of Bereshit, chapter 36, verses 31 to 43, and to say these verses each day of the 8 days. To get these verses by using the Hashem biblical inquiry, you need to put in three pieces of information. And I'm going to skip the balance of this paragraph because it is self-explanatory. If you have any questions, feel free to call me. We will be doing this and adding this to our Shlichot ritual, which we will add these verses to say. There is a procedure to remove vows prior to sundown on the evening of Rosh Hashanah. This procedure, called Chatarat Nedarim, takes a community of a Bet Din of at least three adults, acting as judges to absolve you of all of your vows. This is a very highly recommended ritual. This ritual takes place anytime from sunrise on September 20th until sundown on September 20th. It is usually available in Orthodox synagogues during that day. Here is a link for the statement to be made in this ritual of Hatarat Nedarim. So you can find this link at that page, on this page at that time. The reason for this ritual is needed is that when we make a vow, we receive the energy to perform that vow. If we do not do the vow, that energy becomes the chaotic energy waiting for us. It is the only way for that energy, for that light to return to its home, is to be absolved by this procedure, or to manifest as chaos in the life of the maker of the vow. This is how we balance the universe. When the vow is absolved, the light to be used for that vow returns to the place where it came. That balances the universe as well, as will become clear further down this page. Leaving this light in the vessel of a vow makes it more difficult for the shofar blasts to eliminate this negative aspect of an unfulfilled vow. That is why it is a highly recommended ritual. If this ritual is not available to you in your synagogue, please feel free to call me anytime on the 4th, and I will arrange for a Bet Din to accomplish the removal of the vows. You can also start this ritual in your synagogue, and I am available to assist you in whatever way I can. There is also a one-page modified statement that allows one to remove any vows that they might have made during a week from Motzi Shabbat until the next Shabbat. This is done on Friday morning of each week. Let me know if you would like any information about this ritual. This is also recommended if you have access to three adult people to be able to make, to act as your Bet Din. Tishrei holidays. Here is a parable written by a Rabbi Avraham M. Alter. He is a rabbi working in Peru in outreach. This parable explains the reason within the 23 days and the reason within our lives. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. Hashem announces to the Jewish people in Deuteronomy. So where is the blessing already? Why does it so often seem to be the opposite? Challenges, trials, tribulations, anxiety, and yes, pain and suffering. The answer perhaps is that we need to readjust our perspective, to gaze anew from a fresh viewpoint, that which He bestows upon us, to trust, to understand, and yes, to know that all that He bequeaths to us, no matter how it feels, is ultimately for our good. Even when we search to understand how this illusion of chaos is good for us. Perhaps the following story will help us better understand. There was a couple who used to go to England to shop in the beautiful stores. They both liked antiques and pottery, and especially teacups. This was their 25th wedding anniversary. One day in this charming little shop, they saw a lovely teacup. "May we see that?" they asked. "We've never seen one quite so beautiful." As the lady handed the cup to them, it suddenly began to speak. "You don't understand," the teacup said. "I have always been a teacup. There was a time when I was red and I was clay. My master took me and rolled me and patted me over and over. I yelled out, 'Let me alone,' but he only smiled. 'Not yet,' he said. Then I was placed on a spinning wheel," the teacup continued, "and suddenly I was spun round and round and round. 'Stop it, I'm getting dizzy,' I screamed. But the master only nodded and said again, 'Not yet.' Then he put me in the oven. I never felt such heat. I wondered why he wanted to burn me. I yelled and knocked at the door. I could see him through the opening and could read his lips as he shook his head, saying, 'Not yet.' Finally, the door opened and he put me on the shelf, and I began to cool. 'There, that's better,' I said. Then he brushed me and painted me all over. The fumes were horrible. I thought I would choke. 'Stop it, stop it,' I cried. But he only nodded and said, 'Not yet.' Then suddenly he put me back into the oven. This time, however, it was twice as hot, and I was sure I would suffocate. I begged, I pleaded, I screamed, I cried. All the time I could see him through the opening, nodding his head, saying, 'Not yet.' At this point, I knew there wasn't any hope. I would never make it. I was ready to give up. Then at the last moment, the door opened. He took me out and placed me on the shelf. An hour later, he handed me a mirror. I couldn't believe it was me. 'It's beautiful. I'm beautiful. I want you to remember then,' he said. 'I know it hurts to be rolled and patted, but if I had left you alone, you would have dried up. I know it made you dizzy to spin around on the wheel, but had I stopped, you would have crumbled. I knew it hurt and was hot and disagreeable in the oven, but if I hadn't put you there, you would have cracked. I know the fumes were horrible when I painted you all over, but if I hadn't done that, you would have never hardened. You would not have had any color in your life. And if I hadn't put you back in that second oven, you wouldn't have survived for very long. You wouldn't have been sufficiently durable. Now you are a finished product. You are what I had in mind when I first began with you. The moral of this story, God knows what he's doing for all of us. He is the potter, and we are his clay. He will mold us and shape us so that we may be fashioned into a flawless object, so we can fulfill his perfect will. Being God's vessel is ultimately the best, most perfect blessing for us all." My commentary. My unwritten commentary first. God knows what is best for us, and he knows that all of these stages of process hurt. But he is merciful. He has given us a tool. This tool is the Torah. if we would be only follow its directions, there wouldn't be the pain. This is the teachings of the Torah. This is the mercy of Hashem. Why do we constantly strive to think that we are in control? My written commentary. Learn from what happens during this coming year that this world is perfect. Just as the cup needed to go through various processes, so do we. Just as a cup did not see its end result, neither do we. Trust Hashem that He does not plan to put us on a shelf someplace to look pretty. Whatever the plan is for our best, it is for our best. And the process we experience is also for our best. That is why our sages teach this spiritual journey. This world is perfect, and this time is perfect, and we will become perfect. So create your world this next year perfectly, and make it perfect so that you can be closer to the Creator. And this potential perfection is available to us on Yom Kippur, as will be explained. The evening of Aleph Tishrei, the first of Tishrei, every person runs out of last year's energy. The Kabbalists call this dormita, which means sleep. In these 22 days, each of us is given a new process for the new year. That is actually what the idea of Yom HaDin, a day of judgment, is all about. The first days, 10 days of Tishrei, is the building of the desire to receive for the year. The first 2 days, which the Talmud calls one long day, is the Keter, and Yom Kippur is the Malchut. During the Keter, a court is held that is based on love. What is the best motivation for this soul to become the most that it can be during this coming year? The next 12 days after Yom Kippur is the creation of the light for the year. Remember, the light is the fulfillment of your desires. That is why the left column, the desire, is built first, because we can change the desire during the Keter period through our consciousness. The light cannot be built first. Normally, light is cause. Here, our soul is the cause. The 23rd day in the diaspora and the 22nd day in Israel is the central column of this year for each person. This is also considered the total of the surrounding light, which is the potential spiritual work for the year. Why do we have 10 days of building desire and 12 days or 11 days of building the light, but only one day for the central column? And the simple answer is the central column is a point. It is the balance point between the light and the vessel. Yes, it comes at the end, because we are in an infancy at the beginning of a year. We have to build the vessel. Then we have to build the fulfillment. Then we can be in the balance point as we start our journey throughout the year of balancing the light and the vessel, of revealing the light within the vessel. of transforming the surrounding light to the inner light of the vessel. One final thought about the consciousness one should have during the Keter period. What kind of world do you want to live in? Is the society that you live in based on the maximum that each person can become? Is it a society based on equality? Is there a hierarchy like the Torah? Or is it a mixture like the Torah? How about your home life? Is it based on peace in the house or the need for financial safety? The Tishrei holidays are the following. First, there is Rosh Hashanah. The holiday is actually one long day. But for most of us in the illusion, we see it as 2 days. This is to explain that the energy of the 2 days is essentially the same. Day one is a more intense energy called harsh judgment, and day two is a lesser energy called mild judgment. The energy is called judgment, and the usual explanation is that Hashem sits on his throne of judgment. This is an illusion. It's false. There is a court, but it is a court of cause and effect. It's an effect building your movies, as is discussed in class 5 of our basic classes. Each negative action appears and testifies to the truth of the negativity involved. The Satan reviews its notes. And since the shofar has blown up the actual bombs, the notes disappear as well. So there are no negative aspects to come against that person this coming year. One second. This occurs for those humans who hear and know the shofar. For those who hear it but do not know the shofar, a lesser effect takes place, even as much as the same as someone who does not know and does not hear the shofar. For these people, the Satan recommends a plan to motivate that person to become the most that they can be, based on strict cause and effect for all negative and positive actions. Actually, Rosh Hashanah is the seed of the next 12 months. If we utilize the rituals properly and know the blowing of the shofar, we remove all aspects of negativity from our life and become a totally new person. One of the metaphors the Kabbalists use to help us understand this process is called dormita. This means sleep. We go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah evening, and we become reborn during the night. Then we grow from birth to maturity through the 23 days. The themes of Rosh Hashanah. The Amidah of Musaf, the silent prayer of the additional service that follows the Torah reading, emphasizes the three main themes of Rosh Hashanah: kingship, remembrance, and shofar. We have discussed shofar briefly, and we will do a little more in our preparations. Kingship. The blessing of kingship is introduced with Aleinu, a prayer that is actually recited at the conclusion of every daily prayer service. Aleinu perfectly summarizes what kingship is all about. It begins with, "It is our obligation to praise the Master of all, to ascribe greatness to the Creator of the beginning. But we bend our knees, we bow, and acknowledge our thanks before the King, who reigns over kings. Beyond acknowledging that God is the King of Kings, Alenu asserts the importance of the Jewish nation, recognizing not only his sovereignty over them, but their need to place their trust in him. The above is the general religious explanation. The Kabbalists explain that kingship refers to the Sephirah of Keter and also to Malchut. In essence, the end is in the beginning, and the beginning is in the end. By connecting to Hashem and kingship, we bring the energy of the cycle of life along with Hashem's mercy. Remembrance. Remembrance reminds us that today is the day of judgment, and that on this day, God is judging every person's actions and weighing each person's future. The prayers for remembrance focus on God's ability to truly remember, to look at the life of a person or a nation, and to understand all of the motivations and thoughts that led to a person to his or her decisions, and to justly reward or punish them for their actions. In other words, nothing gets past Hashem. The above is the general religious explanation. The Kabbalists explain the Hebrew word for remember is zachor. This word permutes to raz, kaf, vav. Raz means secret. We are connecting to the secret of the 26, which is the gematria of Kaf Vav. And 26 is Hashem's mercy, so that we have a sweetened cause and effect instead of strict judgment. The shofar. The shofar is a description of the glorious scene on Mount Sinai on the day Hashem gave the Torah. When the sound of the shofar became increasingly strong, Moses would speak and Hashem would respond with a voice. And it is said, and the entire people saw the sounds and the flames and the sound of the shofar and the smoking mountain. And the people saw and trembled and stood from afar. The section of the shofar concludes with a blessing that beseeches Hashem to both sound the great blast of the shofar that will announce the final redemption, and to hear the sound of the shofar blown by the children of Israel on this day of Rosh Hashanah. Avinu Malkenu. No prayer so thoroughly captures the Jewish people or the children of Israel, their dual relationship with Hashem, as Avinu Malkenu, our Father, our King. The formula of this prayer, which has been expanded throughout the centuries to include a total of 44 verses, is based on the prayer that Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest Talmudic sages, recited during a drought. After the community's prayer had brought no relief, Rabbi Akiva called out to Hashem, "Our Father, our King, we have no king but you. Our Father, our King, for your sake, have mercy upon us." The rains immediately began to fall. By addressing Hashem as both Father and King, we are directing our prayers through two different venues. From a Father, one expects mercy, love, forgiveness. A father looks at his child and sees only that child, that special individual, his own flesh and blood, and instinctively feels mercy for the child. Certainly, we wish to address our petitions to Hashem's aspect of mercy on a day of judgment like Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, a king controls the fate of his subjects. He rules with judgment and justice. We hope it is justice. Therefore, we must also address our prayers to this aspect of Hashem during Rosh Hashanah and all the way through Yom Kippur. After all, this is the time that Hashem sits with his books of judgment open before him. By referring to God as our King, we remind ourselves that while he loves us as a father, we must also be in awe of his greatness. The Kabbalists explain that the 44 verses bring the power of the 22 letters of the Aleph Bet in the two aspects of direct life and returning life. Here is an essay from one of my teachers that explains the Avinu Malkeinu prayer in a deep Kabbalistic way. I hope you enjoy it and utilize it as much as I have and do. Avinu Malkeinu in Kabbalah. During these days of Teshuvah, we have a special addition to our daily prayers, entitled Avinu Malkeinu, Our Father, Our King. These words introduce a number of requests that Hashem should forgive our sins, bless us with a good new year, and many more. The question to ask is, why is Hashem referred to both as our Father and our King? Why not just refer to him as one or the other? A simple answer can be that, as we know, Hashem acts towards us as both a loving father and as a stern king, whichever we merit. Being that we do not know our merit before Hashem, it is wise for us to refer to him by both titles. While this answer is true from the Peshat, the simplistic point of view, the secrets of the Kabbalah reveal to us a more profound reason, one that has much personal relevance to how our prayers are heard and answered. To understand the Kabbalah of Avinu Malkeinu, let us return to a small prayer in Rosh Hashanah Musaf, entitled the Hayom Harat Olam, and its Kabbalistic meaning. After the blowing of the shofar in the Rosh Hashanah Musaf prayers, we recite the following short prayer. Today is the birth of the world. Today, Hashem stands up to judge all the creatures of the world. We are before you, either like children or like servants. If we are like children, be merciful to us as a father to his children. If we are as servants, then we raise our eyes and depend upon you until you will favor us and bring our judgment into light. In the Kabbalistic Siddur, the Rashash, Rabbi Shalom Zerabi, the following comments are added to the above prayer. We are before you like children. These are they who merit a naran, a soul from the realm of Atzilut. They are the children of Zeranpin and Malchut, Anok. These two partsuf in unity. Or like servants, these have a naran soul from the realm of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, and are called slave, servant, and handmaiden. As we see, those called children have souls that emanate from a higher source than those called servants. The explanation for this is as follows. Due to the sin of Adam and our own, the souls of collective Israel fell from their original celestial heights in the spiritual realm known as Atzilut. Atzilut is the realm of pure holiness. Souls emanating from this level are in a constant state of union with Hashem. Such souls are thus called Hashem's children. The Kabbalistic appellation of Zeranpin and Nok is used to express the unification of the Sephirot Tiferet and Malchut. Atzilutic souls emanate from this source. Although Adamic souls have fallen from Atzilutic heights, Hashem in His mercy has provided for us His Holy Torah. The observances of the mitzvot therein serves to purify our souls and enables them to be restored to their Atzilutic heights. However, our souls go through a long and arduous process along the path of return to Hashem. We compound the fall of Adam with our own sins, entrapping our souls in the lower worlds that include within them various levels of evil, contamination, and defilement. These lower worlds are called Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Briah is the realm of mind, of thought. Yetzirah is the realm of emotion, and Asiyah the realm of physicality. Whenever we sin in thought, in word or feelings or deeds, our souls become ensnared in these lower worlds, and the forces of evil present within them. Impure souls cannot be called children because they do not possess the purity of the Sephirotic parents, Tiferet, which is Zeranpin, and Malchut, which is Noch. These souls still going through the process of purification are referred to as servants and not children. It must be remembered that souls themselves are composite entities consisting of five general parts: Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. In addition, each of these five levels are utilized within each of the 613 parts of the body. Each of these, in turn, can reincarnate separately from the others and rectify at its own pace and speed. Therefore, each and every human soul has within it elements of differing levels of rectification and purity. Each of us might have within us an element that indeed has succeeded to return to the Atzilutic heights. All the while, the other elements of our composite soul struggles to be free from our earthly containment and contamination. On Rosh Hashanah, we are each judged as individuals, yet each of us is still a composite being, and Hashem judges each and every element within our souls individually. This means that each person is judged by the potential of over 3,000 components. Therefore, during these days of Teshuvah, these days of returning to Hashem, we approach Him in the spirit of utmost honesty and spiritual truth. There is that element within our composite soul that shines the light of Atzilut within us. This level of our souls is referred to as the children of Hashem. Corresponding to this level of soul, we can call Hashem Avinu, our Father. Yet with regards to the still impure attributes of soul within us, these are still ensnared in the lower worlds that possess both good and evil. Such souls and those attributes within each individual soul are called a servant. Corresponding to this, we call Hashem Malkenu, our King. Hashem behaves as a merciful father to those with purified souls, and he acts as a stern king to those with impure souls. Children receive his full grace. Servants are treated in according to their merits. Each of us has within our souls axiolotic and non-axiolotic elements. Thus, when Hashem comes to interact with us, he acts in relationship to the exact levels of balance within our individual souls. The more we shine his pure and holy light, the more we are his children. Thus, the more we receive his mercy. The more we shine our own light and serve ourselves, continuing in the path of our faulty beliefs, our feelings, and deeds. We are called servants. Thus, the amount of mercy shown is less, and the amount of stern judgment shown is more. Avinu Malkenu is written for us to remind ourselves of our composite spiritual makeup. With every supplication to Hashem, with every recital of the words Avinu Malkenu, we remind ourselves that there is definitely much good within us. We have within us the element that makes us worthy to be called a child worthy to call Hashem Avinu, our Father. Whereas at the same time, there is still impurity within us that necessitates that we call ourselves servants and thus entitle us only to call Hashem Malkenu, our King. We should be proud every time we can call Hashem Avinu, and when we should be humbled every time we are required to call Hashem Malkenu. Yet in both attributes, we must surrender ourselves to the divine service and the heavenly cause. In this way, we elevate the element of servant within us and transform it into the child. In this way, we solicit Hashem's blessing for life, for liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in this coming new year. May Hashem bless us all that we rise from being servants and all become worthy children of our Father in heaven. May we all be inscribed in the book of life for only good things and for all good things. And let us all say, Amen. We're going to, let me see how long this section is of the 23 days. Yeah, it's a little too long for us to complete. We're already gone a little bit over time. I will be doing more classes going over time during this coming year, because the additional verses that we are saying has an impact on the length of our classes. Does anyone have any questions? And while you're unmuting your phones, I will remind you that at 3:00 West Coast time, we will have a class continuing our teachings on the advanced teshuvah levels, the Igeret Teshuvah, the letter of Teshuvah. And at 8:30 tonight, West Coast time, we will have a Tikkuni Zohar class. Monday morning at 7:30, we will have a Slichot ritual. At 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class. Still in the Parasha of Noah. At 7:00, we will continue our advanced Teshuvah class. And at 8:30, we will have a Tikkuni Zohar class. I bid you Shavua Tov, a good week, a week of peace, a week of joy for all to seek. Are there any questions? Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.